John Hockenberry is out today. I'm joined in the studio by our friend Patrick Henry Bass of Essence Magazine. Good morning. You know, here's the thing. Gang violence is persistent. So how do you deal with it? Maybe you have to come up with a totally different way, like barring somebody from leaving the house after 9 p.m. Maybe you can prohibit them from using a cell phone in a car, or you limit the kind of colors they can wear, the actual clothes they can wear. Does that help you prevent gang violence? Few cities think that it does. In fact, that's an approach that's being taken in both California and Texas. The states are taking known gang members to civil court, not criminal court, and they're hoping they can actually prohibit the behavior that shows they're members of a gang. Joining us now to explain is Doug Halbert. He's a city prosecutor in Long Beach City, California. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you walk me through exactly how this process works? What I mean, in the difference between suing a gang member civilly as opposed to criminally, what does the civil suit entail?
Well, a civil lawsuit starts with showing that a criminal street gang exists in an area of the city, and we bring a public nuisance action against them to show that the gang is operating like a public nuisance. Once we've shown that, we can get the court to issue an injunction that prohibits members of the gang from engaging in certain behavior, which otherwise would be lawful, like hanging out in parks or loitering, staying out at late at night, flashing gang signs, which by themselves may not seem like a big deal, but when you add it to all the other intimidation conduct, it can amount to quite a bit in the community and in the neighborhood. Once the court issues an order, then it's enforced criminally. A violation of that order can be prosecuted criminally.
I see. Misdemeanor. How do you know the difference between the gang member who's hanging out in the park and just the normal teenager who's hanging out in the park?
Well, the injunction only targets the individuals who are documented gang members. And once you get the injunction with the gang members served, and when I say gang members served, they have to be individually served. They have to be proven in the civil action to be gang members. The judge has to agree that that particular gang member needs to be served and is part of the nuisance. And then once that person is served, the injunction applies to him or her. Afterwards, the enforcement can only be done against those individuals that were served.
I see. And so it's the criminal prosecution that carries a $1,000 fine and the possibility of 6 months in jail. After they violated the civil injunction, then they can be prosecuted and punished criminally.
Correct.
Okay, but isn't this a bit of a civil liberties nightmare? I mean, I know the ACLU sued the Orange County District Attorney over the use of these kind of injunctions in Orange County. And it seemed to me like you're buying some trouble there in terms of possibly prosecuting people who are innocent members of the community.
No, the California Supreme Court has already upheld gang injunctions over a decade ago as basically a balance between the rights of people to live safely in their communities. You know, you have a right to go to the park without being intimidated by gang members. You have a right to walk your kids to school without worrying about gang violence. And the Supreme Court's upheld that. I'm not as familiar with the problems in Orange County, but I do know that they have a different situation. There are some unique facts there that give them some problems. But this is our fourth gang injunction in Long Beach. The first three have been successful. This fourth one is very successful. And the courts have upheld it as long as we're very careful about selecting those who are most active gang members. We are not targeting people, and it's not useful for us to target people that aren't the problem. And we're also limiting it to a small area. So these conditions only apply in the immediate gang area.
Doug, what is the estimated price tag for enforcing this injunction?
Well, you know, it's not enforced in addition to law enforcement efforts. I mean, officers that are out there patrolling, and we have a very good police department. And we've got gang officers who already know the people who are on this injunction. They know them by first name, you know.
Because they've been watching
them
for so long. Well, we have another person with us who works with gang members. This is Renato Ramos, a program manager out of Phoenix, Arizona. Good morning.
Good morning.
I know that you are probably already aware of these efforts in other cities that include civil injunction against gang members. That's not what you do in Phoenix, Arizona. You have a completely different program in which you actually go out and use outreach as a way to meet with gang members, I guess, on the streets?
Yes, we actually meet with individuals who are perpetuating violence. And And these are guys that are at highest risk for shooting or being shot. Our number one focus is to reduce shootings and killings. And in order to determine who is at highest risk, we have certain criteria. Amongst them is gang affiliation.
Okay, so let me try and understand what you're saying. You have gang members who you don't see them as possible perpetrators. You see them as possible victims. So you go to them and say, "Look, your lifestyle will most likely get you shot." Right?
Yes.
And what is their response to it? How is that program working?
You know what? There are some individuals that just aren't going to work with us. They may say, "You know what? Your program sounds great, but at this point, at this time, I can't be associated with you at all." But then we have these other individuals who will open the door to us, and perhaps at that moment will not be ready to take a change in their lifestyle. However, they do let us begin a conversation with them, and that's key to us, letting that conversation happen in the beginning. Because when they are ready to take that transition out of that lifestyle, we've already developed that relationship with them. And we're already ready to get them on the track that they want to go, whether it be help with drug abuse, help with like finding a job or education, whatever the factor may be, we can help them with that. All we do in that conversation is attempt to get them to not use violence to resolve their conflict.
Well, Doug, that's Renato Ramos out of Phoenix, Arizona. Doug Halbert out of Long Beach City. Do you guys have both the carrot and the stick? Do you have a program that also goes to gang members and says, "Look, this lifestyle isn't good for you or the community"?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think both gang suppression and gang intervention programs need to work side by side. And I think carrot and stick are probably the right words to use. But I think neither one is going to be effective by itself. Both in injunction, I think, can reduce violence in the community.
Renato Ramos in Phoenix, do you also agree you need both the carrot and the stick?
You know what, we have been working with certain individuals, and the police department says, you know what, we can't arrest the problem away. What we can do is give programs such as ours breathing room where they can go into the community when the PD has already calmed things down, where we can start interacting with other individuals so that we can get them get in there while there's less crime and where it's not as hot. So it could work together.
Renato Ramos, program manager at the Truce Program in Phoenix, Arizona. Doug Halbert with Long Beach City Prosecutor's Office in Long Beach, California.